You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company on this edition of the podcast. Dave Callum and Dave Tindall talking you through this week's action. The Oman Open is the European Tour event, and we start the Florida Swing with the Honda Classic as well. Dave Callum in the studio, Dave Tindall on the line this morning. First of all, good morning to you, Mr. Tindall.
Hi Dave, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Should we start by reflecting on last week, first of all, as we always do on this podcast? It seems no real concern to change a winning formula here, Dave, so let's start with last week. Dustin Johnson was sensational in the WGC event in Mexico, won by 5 shots. And there seems to be an obsession with the question, who's the best when they all play their best? Did Dustin Johnson provide a definitive answer last week?
Possibly. I mean, it's the second time he's won on that course, so that it does play into his hands a little bit. And Rory McIlroy had sort of almost resigned look about him, saying, well, if someone's smashing 375 yards down the middle, what do you do? So, he's certainly, who would you say, in the top two or three, DJ at his very best, maybe? Mm. I mean, McIlroy's best, he's always held up, isn't he, as the, if he plays his best, he wins, but who else?
Justin
Thomas's best is pretty good as well.
His numbers last week, Rory McIlroy, they were incredible. Statistically, he was superb, but he was still beaten by 5 shots. Was that close to McIlroy's best last week?
Well, I think there's more to come from McIlroy, and I think if you watched it, DJ, I mean, if you were following Twitter, people were outraged about the sort of luck that he had at times with bounces. So maybe the 5 was a little bit generous. But it's still a great performance by DJ.
And I just want to talk about a couple of drops that were disputed last week on the golf course as well. They came in successive holes, in fact. Dustin Johnson got a bad bounce, ended up behind a tree and got a free drop from the cart path. And then on the very next hole on the par 5, McIlroy hoiked his drive way left and landed beside the trunk of a tree. Contended that he deserved a free drop, and the referee said no, and he didn't get a free drop. What did you make to those two calls?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they came so close together highlights a sort of difference. And for all that golf tries to be black and white about its rules, it's not, is it? It just runs into difficulties.
Yeah.
As well, there was that stupid one with Fowler, wasn't there, when he got done for dropping from...
from shoulder height.
As if that makes any difference to anything in the world ever.
No, I think
That rule for dropping by your knee, surely for people with bad backs, that's a terrible rule.
Oh, I think it just looks ridiculous more than anything else. That's the one that's come in that I've thought, wow, this is nonsensical. I don't like leaving the pin in actually either, but that's the one that I think is completely nonsensical.
It's like some sort of old, decrepit men have decided, how can we have a sort of laugh at younger men's expense, make them look silly by making them drop. Mm. So it's just a stupid rule anyway.
Do you think DJ deserved his relief? Because I kind of agreed with Nick Doherty, who was doing the commentary for Sky Sports. He said that is not a natural stance for the way he would approach hitting that shot, because the ball would be back in the stance and then the cart path wouldn't be interfering with his position. And I thought Nick Doherty was right, and Dustin Johnson took full advantage of the rules in that situation.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do, don't they? They sort of know there's a rule there to bend rather than break, and they do what they can.
And McIlroy was completely having it on, wasn't he? Because it wasn't even possible to hit the ball using the stance that he was adopting.
But, you know, if you see someone get away with it slightly, you think, well, I'll chance my arm too.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this week then. We'll start with the Oman Open, which is the European Tour event. This gets underway, we're recording this Wednesday 10:30-ish. This gets underway 2:45 a.m. Thursday morning. So do get your bets on for this one. We've got joint favourites here at William Hill. Joost Luijten and Thomas Peters, both 9-1. Alexander Levy is 20s. Jordan Smith, 22s. Minwoo Lee and Ross Fisher, both 25s. Paul Dunn, Thomas Dietrich, both 28s, 33-1 bar. I suppose it's the sort of field you'd expect for an event of this nature, Dave. It isn't particularly strong, but it's still of interest given that Joost Luijten is defending his title and Thomas Peters adds a little bit of stardust as well. I get the feeling Thomas Peters desperately needs a win at the moment, Dave.
He does, but I won't be backing him at 9-1, I have to say. That does look very short. But yeah, Peters is sort of having to play these sort of events to just, as you say, get a win under his belt, because it's been quite a long time between drinks and he's not kicked on the way we thought he would. But there are signs, aren't there, for Peters, and we're certainly ducking him in the market by going nines, but I can let him win at that sort of price. I much prefer, I still think you're best off with Peters backing him at a big price in a big event, because I think that's when he really does get his sort of the blinkers are on and he's focused, and he knows deep down he's good enough to play with the best, so this is sort of slightly frustrating, he's having to play these events still.
Joost Luijten, by the way, the defending champion this year. His win last year was the inaugural edition of this tournament, but this course, the Al Muj, has hosted the NBO Golf Classic Grand Final on the Challenge Tour since 2013. It's a par 72, measures 7,365 yards. I must admit, Dave, I didn't see much of the event last year, but the players were very complimentary about the venue, and it's unfortunate where it sits on the schedule. It means it's not ideal for the European Tour elite to squeeze this onto their bank of events. But it is an interesting golf course because it's a mix between a links-style venue and a desert track, which makes it kind of unique in that respect, and the wind is set to blow again, so it's probably going to be quite a fun week.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I was reading some player quotes from last year and they all thought it was in immaculate condition, the greens especially, great views as well. And as you say, yeah, it's not a links course as such, but to be honest, a fair few links players really did play well there. One of the sort of strangest ones was Darren Clarke, who couldn't score anything, and then he shot his best score for 3 years when he turned up there. So I think just that feeling of by the sea, maybe the topography of the land is just hints at that kind of thing that a links player would play well. And I think that's a decent angle to follow this week.
Have you got any selections in this event?
I've got one based purely on his price.
Okay.
Probably you should do every week, but it's possible, is it?
I've got a couple. So I'll kick things off. I'm going with Mike Lorenzo Vera at 40-1 is my number one pick here. I think the form from the event in Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago might hold strong in this tournament. That's a desert track which is played on Paspalum and open to the elements as well, so it holds similar characteristics to this course. And Lorenzo Vera finished tied 13th in that event. He's still looking for his first win on the European Tour, but some of his best performances have come in events exposed to the elements and on technical golf courses, like his tie for third at the French Open a couple of years ago.
And he played Sicily as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he played well in Sicily, finished second, didn't he, in Sicily?
Yeah.
Which I think, reads well in the context of this tournament. And he played okay in the desert swing without really pulling up any trees. And he's got some decent form figures in Qatar, which could correlate well with this course. I like his chance. He did miss the cut on his first visit here last year, so I'm obviously hoping for better this time. But I thought 40-1 in a weak field was reasonable on Mike Lorenzo Vera, so he's my number one pick.
Yeah, very good. I'm going to take a bit of a flyer, a bit of a punt, a bit of a chance on a player at 100-1 who, if he was in any sort of form, wouldn't be anywhere near that price, and it's Brandon Stone.
Yep.
100-1. What he hasn't got is current form. Three missed cuts don't look very nice at all, especially as they were in Saudi, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. But you look at his second round scores in those events, 71 in Saudi, 70 in Dubai, 69 in Abu Dhabi. He's not a million miles away, and we're not that far, and are we, from December, when he played pretty nicely on home soil, 7th in the South African Open, 15th and Alfred Dunhill. We've mentioned the kind of Lynx element, and he won the Scottish Open last summer with that incredible final round 60, so he can certainly light it up by the sea. And then the thing that finally sort of tipped me over the edge was, yes, he missed the cut in this event last year, but he's got some Al Mouge course form via, as you mentioned earlier, the NBO Golf Classic Grand Final being played there. He was sixth in that in 2015 and then also fourth in 2013. So he's got a fourth and a sixth in two of his three knocks at the course. He's won by the sea, a big event by the sea, and he's just much better than 100 to 1. And he'll find his way back at some point, so I'm just trying to anticipate it rather than follow it.
No, good selection. 100 to 1 on Brandon Stone for Dave this week. My second selection, I'm going with David Lipsky, who is admittedly a third of the price of Brandon Stone this week. But I just get the feeling he's improving at the moment, and 33 to 1 is okay. I think it was definitely a watershed moment for Lipsky winning the Alfred Dunhill Championship, and he's gone on to show that was no fluke whatsoever as well, with a tie for 16th in Abu Dhabi and then a fantastic tie for 10th in the WGC last week in Mexico. Hopefully the travel won't be an issue. I see no reason why this course shouldn't suit him, and I feel like, to use racehorsing terminology, he's still a little bit unexposed, perhaps, Lipsky. And given his confidence is sky high at the moment, he's my second pick.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't he? He's one of those who seems to have been around for ages, and you sort of class him as a kind of middling tier European Tour player who might pop up with a top 10 somewhere. But I think you're right. I mean, I looked at his age the other day. He's not as old as you might think, is he? Sort of in his early 30s or something like that. So, and that's kind of peak years for golfers. So that top 10 last week was certainly a massive confidence boost.
Yeah.
And probably, as you say, you know, it's a follow-on from his win just prior to that. So Lipsky, I did Google the flight time from Muscat or Mexico City to Muscat, 25 hours.
Wow.
It was longer than I thought. But, but you know, golfers these days, I don't know. It's sort of in your head that it might get to him, but
yeah,
the
evidence isn't there every single week, is it? I think if you dig deep enough, you can sometimes find out. But a lot of players react differently, don't they?
Exactly,
as well,
yeah, it's player specific, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who knows? You might, you know, interview him one day and he'll say, "I love a bit of jet lag. I play better on it."
Who else did you like the look of?
Well, I did look at Hugh Slouten because obviously he's banging form as well. He was tied 10th as well at Mexico. The thing I checked with him was I had this memory of him missing the cut when he was defending the KLM Open. I thought, oh, maybe he's a dodgy defender. Should play for Fulham Day. But he, that was a bit of an anomaly because, yeah, it was in front of his home fans. I think he just had a terrible first round. The other two times he's defended, he's got a third and a fifth. So I think he does, you know, go back to the same courses and play well generally. So he was definitely one. I think Alexander Levy will be popular this week. He's got both current and course form. Ross Fisher will probably be popular at 25s. Marcus Kinnell as well, I did look at him. I wondered if you might put him up.
I thought he was a little bit short at 33 to 1.
Yeah.
He's not quite got that profile of Lipsky at 33s, in my opinion.
No.
I think he probably is a better player than Lipsky. But yeah, Lipsky's recent profile suggests that he's a better bet at 33s to me.
Yeah, the other one I thought might have just drifted to something nice was Lucas Herbert, because he was playing really well in the desert and he went home to Australia and kind of flopped completely.
Yeah.
But I think that, again, that might have been a home pressure type of thing, but we've ducked him a bit at 33s. We've not sort of played the angle that he suddenly lost form, so I didn't go for him.
Was that Fulham gag, by the way, was that in respect to Alan Partridge, who returned to the big screen this week?
Possibly.
Sounded a little bit Partridge.
I did enjoy it, yes. Have you watched it?
I've not seen it yet. I've heard good things. But some people have said it's a bit hit and miss, Dave. Would you say that's the case?
I thought it was absolutely... I was absolutely convulsing with laughter at some of it for the first 20 minutes, but I thought the last 10 minutes was a bit odd.
Okay. Okay.
It was sort of, it broke down. You didn't know what I was watching.
I'll make sure I check that out. So we're done with Oman?
We're done, yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Honda Classic, which is the undoubtedly the big event this week. This is the hashtag Your Odds as well. If you want to tweet in your bet using the hashtag Your Odds to at William Hill, the traders will price it up. As ever, with the list of the hashtag Your Odds, our podcast bet goes right to the top. So if you fancy that, it's there at the top of the list. We'll come to that very shortly. The betting for the Honda Classic is as follows. The defending champion, Justin Thomas, heads the market at 5-1. Ricky Fowler is 10-1. Brooks Koepka is 12-1. Adam Scott is 14s. Gary Woodland is 16-1, along with Sergio Garcia. Cameron Smith, Webb Simpson, both 20s. Daniel Berger is 25s. 28-1, Billy Horschel, and 33s and bigger, the remainder. The Florida Swing getting underway with the Honda Classic, which again is played at PGA National. But because of the shift in the schedule, the USPGA Championship being moved forward and the Players' Championship in a fortnight's time, it's not attracted the quality of field to which we are accustomed, Dave. And Justin Thomas might not have taken up his place in the lineup were he not defending. And there's definitely a dearth of top names in the list this week, which is a shame for the sponsors, I think, more than anything, because Honda are one of the longest standing on the PGA Tour. They will be, I think, a little bit aggrieved with the field we've got this week for the Honda Classic.
Yeah, overall, yeah, they would have wanted some big names. Obviously, if they could have got Tiger there, that would have been great, or Rory. But they've got the last two winners there in Thomas and Fowler. They've got Brooks Koepka, Garcia, Scott. There's some decent names. They've got the Players' Champion, Webb Simpson. But yeah, I know what you're saying. And I do think one of those big names has got every chance of winning it.
Oh, I do. I do as well.
A little bit frustrating.
Oh, I'm a little bit further down in the list to the ones that you're, I think, alluding to there, Dave. But we'll come to the picks in a second.
Okay.
What about the golf course? PGA National is a Tom Fazio design that has been continually tinkered with by Jack Nicklaus over the last 6 or 7 years. It's a par 70, measures just over 7,100 yards, and it's widely regarded as a ball striker's paradise. And I still remember that 2012 edition, which provided one of the most sensational final rounds in PGA Tour history. Maybe that's slightly overstating it, but Tiger Woods came storming through the field with a closing 62, and Rory McIlroy hit the most perfect fairway wood into the final hole to steal the title. And that still stands out to me, that Sunday in the Honda Classic 2012.
Yeah, I do remember that. And you thought at the time, this is going to be brilliant, isn't it? Tiger versus Rory for years to come. And then it didn't quite happen, does it?
No. I suppose all the big American names have come onto the scene, haven't they? But yeah, that was when...
But it could still happen. Maybe, who knows, maybe at the Masters they might get it on again.
That would be good. And this course is pretty hazardous in the main. Lots of danger off the tee that the players will have to negotiate. And some of the players will be relishing the return to Bermuda grass after the struggles the last few weeks on the bumpier Poana surfaces. And there'll be players that have been relishing the opportunity to return to Florida.
Yeah, that is the big change, isn't it, this week? It's sort of like a sort of watershed moment in the season when the tour goes from west to east, as well as the Bermuda grass. People start thinking about the Masters. But yeah, a lot of those players who admit that they struggle on the bumpy Poana will just be loving it that it's back in Florida. The course, as you said, has been changed a little bit. One of the things being greens have been made a little bit bigger and they're newer, which, as we see with new greens, what often they take a couple of years to bed in. So
yeah.
I've read a few players saying they are particularly bouncy this year. So that's affected my decision, I would say, on a couple of names that I might go for, just those classic, hard, bouncy Florida conditions. What we haven't got, though, Dave, is the wind.
Yeah.
Often you get at this course.
Yeah, Adam Scott has gone on record as saying that the wind always blows at PGA National, but looking at the forecast, it's pretty much non-existent until Sunday, which might mean scoring is slightly lower than usual. But then you've just mentioned that the course is, or the greens are likely to be bouncier, which might make it tougher. So it's maybe a catch-22 situation there.
Yeah, possibly. So, you know, it favours some, it favours, you know, it doesn't favour others. I think maybe the effect of the lack of weather, in my thinking, was that those playing well right now, it's probably good news for them that there's no crazy weather, because they can continue their good play and not get done by a dodgy draw or something like that.
Yeah. It's a less than driver golf course, isn't it, as well? I mean, it's really about positioning the ball off the tee.
Yes. It's a par 70. As you say, ball striking comes to the fore.
Yeah.
Here. But I think those with driving distance stats or high up have done well, to be fair.
Okay.
So, I wouldn't sort of get too... You certainly wouldn't rule out big drives. I mean, last week was a sort of driver, less than driver course, and DJ McIlroy go and win it. So
yeah, that's fair comment.
You can't attach yourself too much to those angles, maybe.
I've got two picks.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'll let you go first, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a former winner of this event, actually, and it's not Justin Thomas or Ricky Fowler.
Okay.
It's Michael Thompson.
Right, okay. Yeah, I can see that. 50-1.
50-1, yeah. He won this in 2013. Shock winner at the time. I think he was something like 300-1. And since then, he seems to have just been a player who's, you know, flirted between losing his card and getting it back at Web Finals and all this kind of business. Not quite been able to sustain a challenge. But I think now he's found a real groove. If you look at his last four starts, Dave, 9th, 13th, 10th and 7th. So,
yeah.
As I said earlier, those with good form, I don't think they're going to get blown off course this week. I think it can continue. And I think the switch to Bermuda is going to help him as well, because although he's got those good finishes, you know, four straight top 13s, three of those top 10s, he didn't putt particularly well in any of them. Had a negative strokes gain putting in two out of the four and just crept into positive on the other two. So I think getting back on Bermuda, and I think Thompson could kick on even further, turn those, you know, ninths and tenths and sevenths into top fives, and who knows, even a win. So I thought 50-1 on a player proven on this course in great form was pretty good.
Okay, 50-1 Michael Thompson. I'm going towards the head of the market for my first pick. I'm going to go with Webb Simpson at 20-1 as my headline selection. I think he's one of the players that will be relishing a return to Florida. And I find it significant that this event remains on his schedule as well after his fifth place finish in the tournament last year. That was the first time in the best part of a decade he's played the event, which is a massive surprise. And fifth was a very solid week. And that was despite him not having his best in terms of ball striking throughout the 4 days as well. And the return to Bermuda grass will definitely suit a man who's won the Players' Championship, of course, and this course correlates strongly with Sawgrass. And in Simpson's last four starts in Florida, he hasn't finished outside the top 20, as well as the fifth here last year. He's got an eighth at Copperhead and a 16th a couple of years ago at Sawgrass as well. This sort of track, ball striker's paradise, perfect for him. And he's been in decent enough form, and I think the four unspectacular rounds last week in Mexico keeps his price reasonable, and there's just enough juice in that price at 20-1 to play Webb Simpson, who is one of the more consistent performers on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I agree with the price. I think there's no reason why he shouldn't be thrown in with a 16-1 shot or 14-1 shot. So 20s is pretty good. And for everything you say, yeah, he was close for me, so glad you put him up.
I think, yeah, given what you say, I think Scott Woodland, Garcia, wouldn't be a surprise if he was priced alongside those guys.
Yeah, so, although of those, I do like Gary Woodland. He's not an official pick, but he's got a second and a sixth at this course. Read an interview with him yesterday. He lives 30 minutes away, so sleeps in his own bed and all that business. And he's just in great form as well. But it just doesn't seem a very traditional Gary Woodland price, does it, when he's up against some top names above him. So it just put me off. So I've sort of gone to the other extreme a bit. I'm going to take, again, a bit of a flyer, and again on a 100-1 South African.
Dylan Fratelli?
Yes.
Yeah, I looked long and hard at Fratelli. I liked him this week.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I'm sort of not gone mad. I think what takes the eye most is he played this course for the first time last year and was tied 11th. That was a particularly good knock when you sensed he was still feeling his way you know, at PGA Tour level, although he had a good college career over here. But tied 11th was good. He shot 67, 69 on the weekend, so really stepped it up. Left the tournament thinking, I can probably go back here and perform well. And although he's not exactly tearing it up of late, he's hinting that he might be ready to do something really good. His last four starts, he's got tied 28th in the Desert Classic with a third round 64, and then tied 28th at the Genesis Open at Riviera with a closing 68. So he is hinting at something, I think, and drilling down to his numbers a little bit, I would think of him as a good scrambler.
Yeah.
That tournament, remember that tournament where he chipped in three times in one round or something like that? It was ridiculous. He just kept chipping in. So I think on these hard, bouncy surfaces, I think his short game skills will serve him well, Dylan Fratelli. So, you know, I think you need to really scramble well on this course, even though the greens are a little bit bigger.
Oh, do you think that? Because I just think there's that much water in play that if you're missing the greens, you're not scrambling, you're dropping, basically.
Yeah, well, the stats show players do miss the green, and you do have to chip from just off it, maybe. So maybe the scramble is done from a closer range. Mm. But, you know, and I think when he did all those chip-ins, they weren't sort of 50-yard chip-ins. They were from around the green. So I think he's around the green play. Will serve him well here. And it's just a hard, bouncy course. I always think South Africans do well on those sort of surfaces. You think down the years, Els, Goosen really played well. I think Rory Sabatini's won here as well. So Dylan Fratelli, I think he is the next South African to really kick on. And then this might be a breakout week for him.
Okay, Dylan Fratelli at 100-1 for Dave. I'm going with Graham McDowell as my final pick at 66-1 this week. He was all the rage for the opposite event in Puerto Rico last week, and he failed to fire. But I think that means that he's available at 66-1 this week, and that represents a decent spot of value. There have been really positive signs for McDowell recently, with a tie for 11th in the RSM Classic, backed up with a tie for 18th at Pebble Beach. He's got an outstanding record at PGA National as well, with five top 15s in his last eight starts at the course. And throughout his career, he's thrived on golf courses where scoring has been difficult, like this week. I wish wind was forecast for McDowell, but it's not, unfortunately. I still think he's worth a go at 66-1. So McDowell's my second and final selection.
Good short game as well. Just to go back to that scrambling idea, let me hit you with some facts.
Okay.
So last year, Justin Thomas, who won the tournament, was ranked first for scrambling. And the last five winners have all ranked in the top 10 for scrambling. So I think it is important.
Okay, nice. I like that.
So take that. Have a bit of that. Have a bit of that stat.
What did you make to Justin Thomas this week? 5-1?
There's an argument that, you know, he had that tough week, didn't he, where was it? At Riviera, where he didn't get it done and got sort of bored into submission by JB Holmes. And you thought maybe that was showing in Mexico, but then what did he shoot? 62 in the final round?
Yeah, he just said he went for it on the final day, didn't he? Just hit driver on every single hole, basically.
Yeah, and it came off.
But
I remember not backing him once. I think it was it in the CJ Cup?
Yeah, South Korea, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, and then he went and won, so... you have to be very wary that he won't pull something out of the bag as well.
Yeah, I thought 5-1 was just
it was
a pretty easy pass for me.
Yeah,
he has played a lot of golf recently, hasn't he?
He has, yes. So,
and I think this is one. I mentioned it at the start of the preview. If he wasn't defending this week, I don't think he'd play.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Any others you want to mention? Adam Scott's playing good golf at the moment, 14-1, maybe a little bit on the short side.
Yeah, I mean, I've got another one, but he will be in our hashtag your odds.
Let's talk about the hashtag your odds then. Ours is at the top of the list. Give us your hashtag your odds pick this week then.
So mine is Lucas Glover at 11-2 for a top 10.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that still there?
I think so.
It's been built into
into our price, yeah.
Because I know when you asked me, when you sent me a Facebook message last night asking for my pick, I sent it and you said, I was going to do that.
Yeah, I was going to do that, yeah.
So I forgot whether I'd still got him.
You've still got him, yeah. I've gone for a different one.
Yeah. So Glover, really good record for major winners recently in this event. Even Padraig Harrington won it a few years ago when seemingly out of form. Justin Thomas, obviously, last year. So he's a major winner. Hits it long. Ranked first for scrambling in the Desert Classic. Come back to scrambling again. He's just got loads of good form, hasn't he? And I think even though he's got some decent recent putting stats, he still just makes you a little bit nervy, doesn't he, when he might be trying to win an event for you. But I think for a top 10, I think he can bag plenty of those. Seventh at Pebble Beach. He's got a fourth in this event. Top 25 for the last 2 years. So I thought 11-2, I thought I could throw him forward as a nice top 10 bet here.
Yeah, I like that. I've gone with Emiliano Grillo as my top 10 selection this week. He's good record at PGA National, has been highlighted on Twitter. That was in the junior ranks, and he's really struggled in the... I think Sam Harrop was tweeting about him on Twitter, and that junior record at the course. He's really struggled in the short game department on Poana recently. I think he'll be desperate to get back on Bermuda, and he was eighth here last year, so I thought Emiliano Grillo wasn't much value in the outright market, but I thought we could have a go with him to finish in the top 10. So that's a 20-1 hashtag your odds. Grillo and Glover are the two G's, both to finish in the top 10 at 20-1.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Another couple of names that I just want to mention just before we wrap up here, Dave. I know you've got to be off the line by 11. Benny Arne was tempting, fifth on his debut at the course last year, and has some decent form coming in. And Luke List is a Bermuda grass specialist. He finished second last year, 10th in 2016, and 15th a couple of weeks ago as well. So a couple of names I just want to highlight there in this Honda Classic, with Benny Arne currently 40-1 and Luke List 33-1. Just a shade short in the market for me, but worthy of mention anyway.
Yeah, a little bit further down, I like Trey Mullinax.
Yeah.
He's got some good form going, and I quite like form, current form, as a predictor this week. And he was tied eighth at the Valspar last year, so he's got a bit of Florida form.
Very good, very good. Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who came closest to making the cut but didn't?
Gary Woodland.
Gary Woodland, 16-1. I'm going with Benny Arne at 40-1 as my player you don't want to win this week. Let's recap the selections then, Dave. Who are you going for?
Yeah, so in the Honda Classic, I'll have a point each way on Michael Thompson at 50s and half a point each way on Dylan Fratelli at 100s.
And in Oman?
In Oman, I'll have half a point each way on Brandon Stone at 100s as well.
In Oman, I'm going a point each way Mike Lorenzo Vera at 40-1, a point each way David Lipsky at 33-1, and in the Honda Classic, a point and a half each way on Webb Simpson at 20-1, and a point each way on Graham McDowell at 66-1. And as we will do throughout the entire season, a point on the hashtag your odds pick this week, which is Emiliano Grillo and Lucas Glover, both to finish in the top 10, which does include the ties as well, which is important. And that's available at 20-1. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave. Did you get some return on Cameron Smith last week? Or have I imagined that?
You've imagined that, I think.
Have I?
Yeah. He was one of the players I didn't want to win last week, I think.
Right. And there was mention of him.
Yeah, we gave him a very strong mention last week. He continues to play well, doesn't he, Smith?
He does, yes. I thought that was a good course for him last week.
Do you fancy him for any of the majors?
The Masters, I think he'll be up there again.
Yeah. Okay, Dave.
Great short game. Yeah, okay, Dave.
If you want to follow Dave on Twitter, at Dave Tindall Golf is Dave's Twitter handle. Mine is at D Kellner. Leave your comments for the podcast. And apologies for it being slightly later than usual this week as well. We do try and record this on a Tuesday. Thanks again to Dave Tindall, and thanks to you for listening. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com, and myself and Dave will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.